The Skagway Assembly passes a food garden initiative, and Haines public officials host a public meeting about financial disclosure laws. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedmiller. Those stories and more up next. Skagway Mayor Stan Selmer broke two tie votes on items at last Thursday's Skagway Assembly meeting. The group also postponed several items on the agenda for future meetings. The first item that resulted in a tiebreaker vote was a resolution to support the Food Garden Initiative. The initiative will subsidize Skagway residents who start a new garden or maintain an existing garden to grow food. The idea was proposed by resident Kim Burnham and supported by local growers. Burnham wrote to the assembly that the initiative would help improve the quality of life in Skagway and reassert the historic title of Garden City of Alaska. She said it would help the town become more food independent, especially in light of rising food costs across the globe, the current U.S. drought, and, she wrote, the Environmental Protection Agency's Environmental Control Area Rule, which may affect food shipping costs to the state. The municipality budgeted $5,000 for the Garden Fund in the FY13 budget, which would be used for the initiative. But some members of the public and assembly, including Assemblymember Tim Cochran, said while they support promoting gardening in the town, they do not believe in subsidizing the activity.
You know, I would like to see a club with, education, seed money, et cetera, rather than subsidize a person for their own garden. We have a rather good time going with money right now, and everybody seems to think we need to pay for everything, and I just don't see that as the way to go.
Other members, like Paul Reichert, said they did think the effort was worthy of assembly support.
I see encouraging people to start gardens and growing fresh food here and not bringing it in from the outside. I think that's a great thing. And, I don't know, healthy food, I think it's one of the best things that we can support.
After a 3-3 tie vote, Mayor Selmer voted to pass the initiative. The mayor pointed out he previously served for 17 years as the Master of Ceremonies during the Skagway's annual Eastern Star Flower and Garden Show. The show last took place in 2009, before the Order of the Eastern Star surrendered its charter. The mayor said the initiative could encourage the event to start up again.
That's a sorely missed event here. I see this as, yes, it is government money, but it's government money for a process that has extreme value to the community.
The program will subsidize 50 cents per square foot of garden space up to 500 square feet to qualifying Skagway residents. The application for the program is due by May 31st, and gardens must be planted no later than June 20th. Mayor Selmer again broke a tie vote on an item having to do with the outdoor arts facility request for architectural proposals. The assembly voted to award the nearly $52,000 bid to the only bidder, Architecture Alaska, but only after some members, like Tim Cochran, asked if the assembly shouldn't prepare a 7-acre master plan before going ahead with the project.
I'm thinking we're moving awful fast on this thing before we even know what that whole area is going to end up looking like with the dike extension, because that has to be done to protect the area. And topographical may change a little bit with that in place.
But Assemblymember Paul Reichert said the arts facility plan has been in the works for a few years, mostly on the committee level.
This isn't a project, I think, that needs to be put on the back burner while we look at a master plan, because I think we've been looking at it all along. And this is the first step in what's going to happen down there.
Dave Hunts pointed out that the area where the arts facility is proposed sits within the 100-year floodplain.
Even with the dike project that's going to be put in place, if you go back and look at our 100-year flood plan, this area is going to be underwater. And it's not going to be underwater by just inches, it's going to be feet. And if you look at the 100-year flood plan, it's going to be clear back up in the Jewel Gardens. So that's one thing that you need as you're planning this, to understand that those are going to be the consequences when you're building in the floodplain like that.
Mayor Selmer voted to break the tie and approve the award to the architecture firm. The assembly postponed several items, including moving an ordinance on the waterfront property lease with the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority to a November meeting. An item on a license-to-use agreement between Skagway Terminal Company and Temsco Helicopters, and a resolution on the NOAA Tide Station facility. The assembly finalized its capital improvement priorities list by shuffling the order of the projects. The renovation for the small boat harbor and port gateway project remain on the top of the list, followed by the public safety building, Lyersville bike path, Main Street sidewalk replacement and street repaving, and the boat harbor storage and replacement project. The list goes to the state legislature to consider as funding becomes available or funding sources are identified. The assembly will formally approve the list at the next assembly meeting. The assembly also convened an executive session to discuss the Ida lease negotiations and the lawsuit Western Marine Construction filed against the municipality over the bid process for the small boat harbor project. Western Marine has made an offer to settle the bid protest with the city, although details of the settlement are not available publicly until it's finalized. The assembly moved to have the city manager and attorney work to finalize the settlement. The Haynesboro is holding a series of question and answer events on Proposition 1 that will appear on the October 2nd municipal ballot. The proposition will ask voters whether local public officials should be exempt from the state financial disclosure laws. The Assembly, School Board, and Planning Commission have joined together to support the proposition and are hosting the question and answer events. Officials at the gatherings will outline how local financial disclosure laws will still affect them and what the differences are between state and local laws. The first question and answer event is Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Haynes Public Library. There will be events each following Wednesday on the 19th and 26th at the same time and place. Also this week, the We the People is hosting the first Haynes Candidate Forum of the election season. The forum takes place Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Sheldon Museum. Topics will include democracy and governance, transparency and accountability, sustainability and community lifestyles, community infrastructure and priorities, and energy and economics. Coordinator Dana Hallett said three of the four candidates running for Borough Assembly have confirmed they will attend. More than 800 military vets attended the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs' first-ever stand-down in Southeast Alaska last week. Stand-down events are designed to give veterans access to health care and housing services, both from the VA and local nonprofits. As KTOO's Casey Kelly reports, a new agreement between the VA and Alaska Native health care providers should make it easier for vets in rural Alaska to access those services.
Alaska VA spokeswoman Marcia Hoffman-DeVoe says the agreement signed in May allows Native health care providers to directly bill the VA for care provided to veterans.
Even though we have probably the largest geographic area of any state, our veterans in Alaska will probably have the best access to either directly provided VA health care or care that we purchase from a community or Alaska Native provider.
Lincoln Bean Sr. of CAKE is a board member for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium and Alaska Native Health Systems. He's not a veteran himself, but he helped negotiate the agreement because when he was growing up, those who served were among the most respected members of his community.
World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan. And I kept hearing they're not getting the benefits they should be getting. And that's why this is happening today.
While Anchorage and Fairbanks have hosted stand-downs for years, the event at Centennial Hall Friday and Saturday was the first one held in Southeast Alaska. It's part of the VA's effort to expand its presence in the state. The Southeast Native Veterans Group opened the event with the presentation of colors.
Order.
Tony Mills is an Army vet from Hoonah who served during Vietnam. He says he's had issues with the VA in the past. During a visit to a VA clinic in Anchorage in 1998, Mills says the doctor didn't even know what branch of the service he'd been in.
He said, "How long were you in the Marine Corps?" I told him, "Marine Corps, I never was in the Marine Corps." I told him I got drafted in the Army.
Mills says he's glad to hear about the new sharing agreement, which he plans to take advantage of at the search clinic in Hoonah. He also says the two-year-old VA clinic in Juneau's federal building should make it easier to access the medical tests he needs.
I'll be coming back just coming Wednesday for the hearing test that we're, I guess they're going to have it up on the 6th floor. And the Coast Guard doctor from Mount Edgecombe, and he come over, and this is the one that got me going on this.
This bag's going to be Psalm 4.
Stand down events date back to Vietnam, when frontline soldiers would rotate to a safe and secure area for hot meals, medical treatment, and new uniforms. Traditionally, non-combat stand downs focus on homeless vets and vets in need. The VA brought two semi-truckloads of military surplus gear to Juneau for the Southeast stand down. Socks, underwear, jackets, backpacks, and other supplies filled one of the ballrooms at Centennial Hall, available to any vet who needed something. Ex-Marine Dan Roberts came looking for a new sleeping bag.
I sleep on my boat, and it gets kind of chilly now because I don't use my heater at night.
We have you a sleeping bag liner, the shell.
As he collected his new sleeping bag from a volunteer, Roberts talked about how much it and all the other supplies mean to him.
Shoes, bag, sleeping bag, deluxe, and other clothing, socks and underwear, and you name it, lunch. I'm overwhelmed.
For those veterans who couldn't make it to the stand down in Juneau, the VA arranged for gear to be shipped to smaller communities throughout Southeast. The VA's Marsha Hoffman DeVoe says the agency would like to see a local nonprofit organize it into an annual event. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.